We really hope you sense that presence of God in your life today. One of the amazing places we find in Scripture is where John was writing and talking about those who would not receive Christ. That Jesus came to his own people, his own heritage and culture, his own friends, those who supposedly had the faith which he presented, and said he came to his own and his own did not receive him. But that was great news for you and me because we were not his own, but said to as many as received him, to as many as simply recognized who Jesus was and said, yes, my Savior, my God, my King. To as many as received him, he gave the power to become the children of God. And his eye is on us every day. Thank you, Sarah. A special day for us here at Washington Heights. We're very excited by some of the things that God has been doing lately, and we're glad to see you all here this morning. I want to start by asking you a simple question. Right now, what is your favorite scripture verse? It may be a verse that you've had your whole life. It may be a verse that you just read this week that spoke to your heart in some special way. But what's a passage of Scripture, a verse of Scripture that right now comes to your mind or that you say, yeah, this is where I am. This is what God's doing in my life. This is what I want to share with others. Whatever it might be, this is my passage today. Well, I want to say it to you because I want you to think about that, and if you don't have one right now, that's fine. You've got from now until about the next 30 minutes to figure one out because we want you to have a passage of Scripture because in a few minutes, we're each going to use a passage of Scripture, and we're going to do it as we prepare for what God has coming next for us. This is our day to celebrate our Renew and Refresh and Renovate campaign. I think we've got something up on the screens. We can bring those up right now. Renew, Refresh, and Renovate. That's what we want to do. 41 years ago, this auditorium was built, and it has serviced so amazingly well. In fact, one of the things I kept hearing again and again is, well, we really don't have to do much. Things are still really good. Well, kind of on the surface, we've kept them looking good, but there's some things underneath that we know are in need of attention, and that's what we want to do. So for the last several months, 2 months actually, last several weeks, 2 months, we have been asking you to come alongside and support us as we plan to renew and refresh and renovate our worship center here. And we had a lot of ideas and a lot of concepts and have shared those and heard back a lot of things. And we have been listening and we have also received your commitment cards back again. And some of you have seen it. We went ahead and posted it early because we knew a lot of people were curious. But if you haven't, our goal was about $650,000 originally, but we received $492,277 in commitments from you, our members and friends at Washington Heights, and that's really exciting. So cheer for that. Give yourselves an applause. Yeah. That's quite a goal to accomplish in just a short period of time. Now, I realize all of the cash hasn't come in yet, and that's fine. We understand that. As we said at the beginning, we needed to plan and be able to know what our commitments were so we could go out and make the arrangements to do the things we needed to do. But we will be happy to see you given some time to coordinate your budgets and all. We get all of that. And so as long as the commitments are received by the end of the year, that's both good for us in meeting our goals and objectives and the things we're going to be working on in the next several months, and also you for getting it in this year's tax reporting season. So that all kind of works together, and we hope to have all of the commitments received by January 1st, by the end of the year, by December 31st, actually, by the end of the year. So that's great, $492,277. We had a lot of people who worked on this project together. I'd like to introduce you to our team for just a minute. This was both our capital campaign team and our design team. So you'll see up here some names, John Burkhard. And as I call your name, would you do me a favor if you're here? And I know most of you are, I think. I saw most of you today. Would you come up here for just a minute if I call your name? So John, come on up. I know you're here. Charlie Giles, Now, Karen's going to hate me for doing this, but Karen, would you please be willing to come on up for us this time? Karen Hoppe, Amanda Quast, Todd Martin, Tony Orme, Robert Rhodes, Sarah Shank. Now, Debbie Sykes was our decorator, and she is not with us today, but some of us have worked with Debbie, and she's been involved in our church and a great support to our church over the years. And, of course, our team leader, George Martin. So I saw Wally. I didn't see Karen. Can I not get the rest of you? Okay. Anyway, this is our team. Thank them for the work that they did. We would not have been able to get the things done in nearly the scope of time and efficiency we didn't have if it hadn't been for this great team. They worked very hard and very diligently on all of your behalf, and we're excited about what we think is coming in just a few weeks. So thank you all very much. So the question is raised, what is it that we can and can't do given the fact we didn't quite reach our whole goal? And that's been a question everybody's been asking, and we've studied that. And, of course, until we knew what we had available, we weren't sure what would be good and what would be bad to pursue and not pursue. So I want to start by sharing a few of the things that we're not going to do that we originally introduced as possibilities. The first thing is there will be no addition. We talked about putting a small addition on, about a 700-square-foot addition, that would have gone on that wall on the other side of it to create a hallway from the back to the new platform area, and also some additional space for preparation, whether it was preparations for performances or preparations for baptisms or preparations for services, and also some storage for equipment that would go back and forth between the new platform and storage when we needed it and didn't need it. But that was a large chunk of the plan. That would have been about $75,000 of the plan to complete that. And if you know anything about construction costs, to get 700-plus square feet in a commercial-style building for that price was actually a very good price, very doable, and we had it, you know, very well cost-managed, but we didn't have that cash committed, so we're not going to do that. And we think that's fine. It's a little more awkward, we admit, to do some of the things we've done, but we'll continue doing everything right through the auditorium here as we do it, and we'll figure all the rest out. That's great, and that really is great. So there will be no addition. The other thing is there will be no permanent baptistry. That was one of the things we talked about, was putting the baptistry here in the floor near the front of the auditorium and all. And I know that there was some confusion about that. Some people couldn't quite picture it in their minds how it was going to work. Well, in the end, there was some significant cost in, you know, going into the floor and digging down and positioning that and putting in all the new plumbing and all. So that was another large savings by not putting in a permanent baptistry. So people have said, well, if we're not going to do that, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to use a portable baptistry system. And those are things that are available, and we'll need to find a place for it, and it'll store, but it'll actually come in, and it'll move in and move out as we need it, and it'll be about this high, and it'll stand up here on the platform at the times when we need it, and we'll work off a portable baptistry system. Somebody asked me as I was going through this process, they said, Pastor, what do you think about all this? I have baptized people on a water cistern in the roof of a house in the Amazon basin. I have baptized people in the Krishna River in India. I baptize people in swimming pools. I can baptize, you know, where there is water, we can get it done. So we're not really worried about this. We're going to be able to manage that just fine. But that's one of the things we're not going to do is put in a permanent baptistry. We'll move to some kind of a portable baptistry system. And then the third thing is, we found out as we were going through our work with our contractors that between a couple of the contractors who were getting us information, there were some discrepancies. And so our contractors have said they're going to push hard to get bid matching to the lowest bid on the same specifications and programs. And by doing these three primary things, we believe that we are going to be able to accomplish our Renew, Refresh, and Renovate program with what we have received in commitments, and we then, of course, trust we will fully receive in cash by the end of the year. So that brings up the question, what can we do? If this is what we can't do, what can we do? What we can do is this. We are going to do a full platform rebuild, and that'll go all the way to the back wall, and we will expand and open up our platform and make it more functional and accessible. Instead of having so many levels up and down, we'll have primarily one even level that things can be moved on and off, and then we'll be able to build temporary risers as we need them for various kinds of activities and performances. We'll have new chairs and carpet throughout. You can see the model chair out in the auditorium. And one thing somebody said to us is, what if we actually asked people to buy their own chair? Now, they did that over at Cedarville. In fact, Robert was telling us that he had to look really hard, but he found his chair that he bought when Cedarville remodeled their auditorium. We thought that was great. We'll let all of you buy your own chair. Maybe that's how we finish our full goal and get it all done. Maybe we can get some nice little plaques for them. You know, somebody suggested maybe plastic plaques, you know, for those, and then, you know, aluminum plaques for those at a little different level and brass plaques for those. No, we're not. We weren't in favor of that idea at all. But we did think about putting, you know, your names on them. And then because the chairs are movable from week to week, just move them. And you have to find your chair and sit next to new people every week. And I would really have a lot of fun because all you in the back row, I would have your chairs right here in the front. But that's all right, you know. But no, we're looking at going to the chairs, flexible seating space. We hope better seating space, things that we can do, center aisles for weddings, that kind of thing. So chairs and carpeting, all new house lighting, hopefully more effective lighting, LED lighting, less expensive lighting. So all the chandeliers will actually go away and create more open space for the projectors and things. And we're looking at a light source will be, we hope, more pleasant, better for reading your scriptures and better for seeing, more controllable and less expensive. New projectors and screens. As you know, these are fading and wearing out. They're getting older. We can't even. Right now, we actually bought these near the end of their production cycle, and they're about 18-year-old technology, and we really need to get something new that works a lot differently. We're going to go to the 16x9 format screens, and we'll be able to do more things with that. So all of that's in the plan. New platform lighting, new theater lighting, trying to get rid of some of these shadows and deal with a better light for our platform and our presentations. We're going to upgrade our sound system. Rather than, I know, having all the little speakers back in there, we're going to work on a more uniform sound system that everybody can hear, both balcony and in the main floor. We're also going to upgrade the system with video capabilities, mainly so we can do video streaming of our events, which is one of the things that we have never been able to do and we hope will be a blessing both to our people and to our community. I had somebody just recently mention that because of commitments they have, they don't often get to be here on Sundays to be in the services with us, but they listen to podcasts every week. And that's great. And they said, oh, but we'd love it if there was some video we could watch. And well, Lord willing, when we're done with this, that'll be available. Someone asked me when we were doing the Q&A a couple weeks ago if there were other exterior projects. And the truth of the matter is I forgot about these for a couple of reasons. One is we are going to be redoing the roof of the Ed Building. That was actually a project we had separate from remodeling this particular worship center. And we had funds that were donated for that from a grant in our community. And we put that into the project because when the contractors are here and all, we believed it would be to our advantage to have it all done at one time. That kind of went out of my mind because it was a separate project from the worship center, and I misspoke when I was asked that question. But we will be doing the roof on the adult education wing along with this project, so that will all get taken care of. That roof, I believe, was put up in the 80s, so it's even older than this, or it's almost as old as this auditorium is. So about 35 years on that particular roof, and we're going to get that taken care of. And then there's some small asphalt patching, and I'd forgotten about this. That was kind of, I was thinking of that in terms of maintenance, not the capital project, but we're putting it together while we have all the construction people here, so that broken asphalt out in the parking lot in the drives coming in, that will also be renovated. And then, of course, as we mentioned, we'll be having a portable baptistry. So these are some of the things. So as you can see, it's going to get a lot done, and we're very, very excited about that. So more than anything, what we do is we want to say to you, our congregation, thank you. Thank you for your support, and thank you for your graciousness, and thank you for your generosity and all that you've done to make this upcoming renew and refresh and renovate project possible. Now, for just a minute, I would like to have you take your scriptures and open to John chapter 4. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 4. I was looking earlier at a passage in John on another issue, but look at Luke chapter 4. Sometimes in our day and age, we hear people and they wrestle with the role of facilities in our culture. And it's always the case, and by the way, it always has been. I will tell you that if you go back and check in church history, there's always been a tension about facilities. is because at one level, we all need facilities. But at another level, when it comes to using our resources, we think, but couldn't this go here and couldn't this go there? And there's this particular project or this particular need or this particular mission or whatever it is. And when we're allocating out our resources, there's always this tension between brick and mortar and what we often call hard ministry or immediate impact ministry. And you hear a lot that's said about, well, why don't we just do like the early church did and have, you know, a hole in the roof and have the preacher fall through? No, why don't we just like the early church? And they all had homes. There's been kind of a resurgence in, well, why don't we just, you know, meet in homes and not have facilities? And I think sometimes we forget how significant facilities were even in Jesus' day. I want you to come along, and as we come to Luke chapter 4, and we get down to verse 14 and following, I don't know if your Bible has a little heading there. At verse 14, my Bible has a heading that says, Jesus begins his ministry. And this is after his baptism and after the temptation, and he's about to now start his public ministry. And I want you to notice what it says. It says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went throughout all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. When Jesus began his ministry, I think it's interesting for us to note that he began in facilities. We think of Jesus and his work out on the fields, the Sermon on the Mount, or his work alongside the Jordan River. We think about him often in outside environments, meeting on hillsides or on plains and gathering large crowds around him. And there was certainly some of that that happened. But what we often don't realize is that Jesus went around from city to city and village to village, and he regularly went to the synagogues, which the Jewish people had built as their houses of worship. And the history of the synagogues is actually kind of interesting. The synagogues go back to the time of the Babylonian captivity. Worship in Israel had centered around the temple. And of course, the temple was in Jerusalem, and there were other places where priests ministered, but primarily worship of one form or another centered around the concepts that were involved in the sacrifices and the temple. But when the Temple of Solomon was destroyed in 586 BC, the people of Israel began to struggle with what they should do to maintain their teaching and what they should do to maintain their identity and what they should do to maintain their worship. And beginning actually during the Babylonian captivity, they began to gather in places that were central. And they did it for three primary reasons. They did it to worship. They did it to study and learn and train. And they did it to have a presence in their location that allowed them to maintain the unique identity of their community. And so when you think of worship and you think of training and you think of community, those things were enhanced by the synagogue system. And the synagogues began to grow and began to become very major centers of not only Jewish life, but of the presence of the teaching of God and his word throughout the world. We find synagogues in Rome. We find synagogues in Egypt. We find synagogues, obviously, throughout the Middle East. We find synagogues in what is called Asia Minor and Central Europe and Eastern Europe. We find synagogues throughout all of what was at that time the known world. And they're beautiful. And they were monumental and substantial, and the Jewish people understood that the synagogue became a physical presence in a given part of the world that both allowed them to gather and to worship and to train, but also to have a presence in the community from which they could base their ministry. And Jesus did that. And when he began his ministry, he began going to facilities that were identified for the purpose of worshiping God, and there began to proclaim his message, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." It was in that synagogue there in Capernaum that he stood up and read from Isaiah and said, "Now, this promise of the messianic king is fulfilled in your hearing." And they got mad at him because they knew what he was saying. He was saying that he was that fulfillment. He was saying that he was God. And it happened in a synagogue. One of the things that you realize if you've ever watched the historical movement is that, well, it's important and necessary to be out in the community doing ministry and doing service. Every organization has realized they also need to have a location and a facility in which their people gather for worship. I'm not trying to make a social commentary, but I am saying if you actually look at the realities and study them, you'll find that all of the movements historically that have begun as small group movements or house church movements have eventually also, usually in conjunction with that, founded some kind of central facility for worship and training and fellowship and identity into the community. And so I think it's important for us to realize that what we are doing in holding and maintaining an outstanding facility is not something that is arcane or last generation or ineffective or wasteful. It is something which is consistent with the way the people of God have functioned and communicated and trained and worshiped and maintained their presence throughout, well, at least the last 3,000 years. And I'm excited and proud of what we are doing. Now, the question, though, then becomes, what is it that we want to do with this facility? And sometimes a facility can become something that just kind of locks in and is only for the, you know, holy huddle and the family group. And that's not what it's supposed to be. Did you notice what Jesus preached in that synagogue? He preached from Isaiah, the mission to proclaim good news to the poor, the mission to proclaim liberty to those who were enslaved, the mission to proclaim the recovery of sight to the blind and liberty to the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That particular passage comes from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. And when you look at the breakdown of Isaiah, Isaiah breaks down into two large segments. You've got chapter 1 to 35, which is primarily a series of judgments. And you have a small interlude in 36 through 39, which deals with the reign of Hezekiah and the life of Hezekiah. And then you start in 40 through 66, and that deals with the mercy of God and the blessings that will come through his Messiah. And when you get to the very end of that section, that second half of the book of Isaiah, in chapter 60 to 66, you deal specifically with the reign of the Messiah and the hope of the people of Israel. And that's where this was quoted from, and that's what Jesus was saying he was here to do. He was here to meet the needs of these people. He was here to meet their needs, sometimes physically and mostly spiritually, and to announce the year of the Lord's favor upon them as the grace of God came to his people. My friends, that's exactly what our facility will always be about. And I want to say it right now. That's what we're about, that's what we've been about, and that's what we will be about. I have no doubt, knowing the people of Washington Heights, so that's what we will continue to be about. And as we put this facility together, as we renovate it and take care of the worn carpet and the threadbare pews and all of that, and as we try to make it functional, we still have those three goals. One is to worship our God and exalt him, both in our own lives and that others may know by our presence here that we are God's people and we love our God. And the second thing is to train ourselves in his word, to become better at knowing his word and preparing ourselves for the service he's equipped us and called us to do, to fellowship together, to encourage and challenge one another, and then to, from this location, as we have gathered and trained and worshiped and encouraged, go out into our community and have a presence. I love it when we are talking with people in our community, and whether it's because of Upward, or it's because of our senior ministries programs, or it's because of something we've done in one of the local schools, or something we've done in the community, when people say, "Oh, You're that church on Far Hills Avenue. You're that church up the street. That's your church. And we know that the church is not the building. We know the church is God's people. But this facility becomes an anchor or a reference point that people in our community can identify with. And when we say we're part of Washington Heights, they get a physical presence and a sense of what we're about and what we're doing. And I love that in the work that we do. But it only matters when we go outside these walls and we touch the community and we carry that message to the poor and the spiritually troubled and the blind and the hurting and let them know that God loves them. And that's what Jesus came to do, to challenge and to carry that message out, and that's what he asked us to do. So as we prepare for this project of renovation, we want to send this project forward, not thinking about chairs and carpet and lighting and electrical systems and whatever else, but thinking about the people in our community and how we will serve them from this anchor point, from this location. So what we've done is we've brought in six panels. These are subfloor panels. These are panels that were given to us by our contractor. These are panels that will be used in building the subfloor of the new platform. And what we want you to do is we want you to take the next few minutes, and we hope that all of you will do this. Nobody has to. Please understand, we're not trying to force anybody, and there's no shaming here if you stay in your seat and read or pray or take a nap. That's all fine. Really, it is. But what we are saying is this. If you would like to, and we hope you will, we want you to come. We want you to sign your name. We didn't ask you to sign your name on your financial commitments. We don't track that. We do want you to sign your name on your spiritual commitment to being God's people in this community. We want you to sign your name, and we want you to put a verse on there. Sign your name and put a verse. And let it be something that's meaningful to you, to your relationship to God, to your worship, to your training, to your willingness to be used as a servant in this community, so that when we put this all together, we as the people of God will be committing through this facility to be his witness here across the street and around the world for many, many years to come. This particular facility, 41 years and going strong. And we don't know what the next 40 years will bring. But one day, maybe 40 years from now, when they tear up whatever platform we build and put in whatever new kind of hovercraft, you know, super levitating transporter style experience we have at that point in history, I want them to find the names and the verses of the people of God who gathered here today. So can we do that? Yes? All right. I'm going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to ask us to stand up. We've got markers at all the locations. You can go to any one of the six, put your name, a verse, and take just a moment and have a time of prayer with God. Can we do that? Our Father and our God, we thank you so much that this is our gathering place. This is our synagogue. This is our house of worship. But as we gather here, we know that we come to this place so that we might allow our voices to be raised up to you, Lord, and our prayers to be brought into your presence. We come to this place where we might gather together and learn from your word and challenge one another in our lives. And Lord, we gather together in this place that we might be sent out, whether it's across the street or around the world, to touch our community with the truth of who you are. We thank you for the people in the past who had the vision to buy this land and build this facility. And we thank you that it has been a home for us as we have worshiped and trained and shared in ministry. And Lord, we pray now that you allow each of us to carry on the commitment. It's our turn now, and let us pass the torch. And Lord, we pray that as we sign our names and put our verses on these panels, it might be our act of commitment to you that we will continue to use this facility for your glory, separated, sanctified, set apart for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the work that he's called us to do. And we therefore ask you to bless us today through the process of our renovation and through every ministry that is done in this location according to your perfect will. And we do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand? Go to your panels. Let's come back. We want to have a time just to close together in prayer and encouragement. But go find one of the six panels that's around. Put your name, your verse, a little time of prayer, and then come back in a few minutes when we're done. I think it's great to look around, you know, some people sign their name and put their verse, other people wrote it out, that's wonderful. Got a couple of, you know, teaching illustrations over here for the future that, you know, can give people encouragement. And I love the fact that this is our heart, and that our heart is a heart to worship God, a heart to minister for His glory. Folks, I don't know what's going to happen in the next few weeks. People are saying, what's next? What's next is beginning in October. And we're still working on exactly what date with the contractor. Beginning October, probably the first, possibly the second Sunday in October, we'll be moving our worship services into the Activity Center. And you'll be getting more information about that in the next few weeks as we move closer to October. We'll give you the details on just how it's going to happen. We're going to move our worship services into the Activity Center. We're not sure yet just how long they're going to be there. As we said, we were only going to do the projects, so we had commitments to cover. That's the projects you've heard about. Because we're changing the scope of the project and not adding the addition, we may be able to shorten the time a little bit. We're looking at just how long it's going to take. But we'll be in that center for probably 10 weeks. That's kind of the best guess right now. Maybe a little less, but probably about 10 weeks. We want to be praying about how that transition goes. And then when that's done, we'll have a time, hopefully right near the holidays or maybe right at the first of the year. We'll see how it all comes together. We'll be able to come back into our new space and rejoice together here in worship. In the meantime, we need to have you praying about the people who are going to be helping us with all the activity of moving and back and forth, praying about how this affects our teaching and our worship because the dynamics will all change. Praying about how this is a ministry to our community as we talk about it and share what God is doing here in our church and in our lives. Praying that our own hearts and spirits will be encouraged and maintained through this time of transition and change. So just be praying for our church and praying for this project. We thank you so much for the way that you have supported it as we see God bless us in the future. We're going to stand and close our time together and do it in that spirit of worship that has always been the heart of Washington Heights.